people, and welcome to another episode of Cast Party, the official podcast of Shays Performing Arts Center. My name is Rita Siriani, and with me today, I have my co-party hosts. In this corner, Juliana Tracy.
Hello.
And in this corner, Kenny Lazuski.
Hello, everyone.
How are
you
doing?
I love how we're doing a boxing reference right away, too. Great, thank you.
I know. Let's go. Let's square up. Let's square up for episode 10. Since it's our 10th episode, we thought something kind of fun would be to invite folks into our cast party who might not have anything to do with Shays, but might be awfully nearby. And that individual is our neighbor at Electric City. And I'd like to introduce him to you all. His name is Chris Braytek, and he is their production manager. Welcome, Chris.
Yay! Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Woo! So happy to be here.
Thank you for being here, Chris. Thank you for making the long commute.
Oh, yeah. It was a real pain in the tuchus.
Yes.
But it's hot out.
It is.
It's hot out. It's humid. You might be, but you look great. Still sweaty.
Thank you so much. I was worried that my hair would frizz, but I'm hoping that everything is continue.
Put your hand back.
I don't even know how to do that.
You don't even know where I put it.
Oh, there you go.
So, Chris, I thought a good way to kind of start off was if you could tell the folks at home a little bit about Electric City, since they might not have been there yet, and what you do there as a production manager.
Yeah, for sure. So, Electric City is a music venue that is obviously right next door to our Shays Theater folk here. We opened back in February of 24, so we've been open about 18 months or so. I think that in that first year, we did close to 100 and change shows. This year, we're on pace to do about 150, 160, something like.
Wow.
And the types of events that we do range from your typical concerts, rock and roll, hip hop, EDM, dance music, that sort of thing. We also do private events, so you can come have a wedding. You can come do a deviled egg competition, which is something that we actually pulled off last year.
Legendary.
That sort of thing. What I really love about Electric City is that though it is a purpose-built music venue, the space is flexible enough that you can do any kind of event in there, really, and have it be pretty successful. It's really well formatted and set up that you can have vendor booths, you can have all kinds of different areas for activations, and still be inside of that same venue using all of the really cool equipment that I get to play with every day. And to that end, what I am in charge of over at Electric City, we call it Barricades to Buses. So that means that I'm in charge of everything on the technical and, for lack of a better, artistic side of things. That means that I deal with the artists, their management, getting them in the building, taking care of the logistics of their travel, getting their gear inside, getting their day of show planned out, figuring out how long load-in's going to take, making sure that sound checks run according to schedule, and then everything for the logistics as they relate to the bands and the event for that evening as they kind of face back out towards my counterpart. Eric Fura is our operations manager. He handles, we say, barricades to bars. So
yes.
That, again, alliteration, just keeps it fresh.
Keeps it simple.
We say seat to street. Street to seat.
Oh, do we?
Well, Brian and I do. Like, once you park on, get from the street to your seat, like how to make that experience as easy as possible for people, because everybody complains about parking.
Yeah.
So how can we make that street to seat experience at Shays better?
It's all about alliteration.
And I liked it. That's why it always popped right in my head.
But it's kind of, he and I work together to figure out what is the cleanest pathway for not just for the patron, but for the artist.
Sure.
What makes a really well-executed event work well? What are the things and steps that we can take in advance? And it's going to vary show to show. I mean, it changes from a comedy show. What does that entrance plan look like? What does that artist hospitality look like? Versus, say, Deviled Egg Night, or Johnny Marr is coming to Electric City in September.
Oh,
so,
very cool.
Yeah, he's the guitarist for the Smiths. Or was when the Smiths were a band. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yeah, I should just kind of tail in and say, like, obviously I'm biased with Chris, but, like, we happen to be married, for the record.
Easy book.
I'm surprised that didn't say, you didn't say that right away. Was this, like, a spoiler alert?
I just forgot.
It's a drop in.
But Eric, Mark, Michelle, Victoria, the whole squad over there are some fantastic people, and they run a hell of a venue. So I just like to shout out there.
We have great neighbors.
We have great neighbors. You're in very good hands when you go to Electric City. Yeah, actually, Chris, I know this. Your background's in theater.
Yes, it is.
Can you tell us a little bit about your previous experience and how that helped you cross over to rock and roll?
I started in theater when I was in second grade, just doing community shows, things like that, and found a real love and a passion for it. Mm. So at a very early age, knew that that kind of stuff was what I wanted to do. I thought very much from the time I was that age until I was in high school, early college, that I wanted to be an actor on the Great White Way. And
well said.
Thank you.
What?
Actor?
An actor.
I know actor, but what's the way?
The Great White Way? Yeah, that's in reference to what some people call the Broadway.
Thank you.
Oh, you learned something.
That's Broadway.
Wow. That's Broadway.
Yeah. Wait, so did you act then? Like, yeah. Were you in stuff?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was in a lot of stuff.
So like Quasimodo?
No.
No.
Close. I think there was a production of Big Love by Charles Mee. That was when I stopped your Facebook when we were dating.
I was the lovely Irish Catholic boy in front of you did play Perchik in a version of Fiddler on the Roof in college. That's because...
I have no idea what you just said.
Fiddler on the Roof. Not important.
The classic, classic musical Fiddler on
my
the Roof.
My favorite musical. Do you know I was Pride Rock in Lion King?
I am a listener to the podcast and I'm very aware of your term. And I heard you did a great job. That strong back keeping the whole cast up there for hours at a time.
I would like to point out one thing. Ken's lying on his resume. His dream role is Pride Rock. He's never actually played Pride Rock. You've never been in the Lion King.
You got the stinky boot. I know that part of the history too.
I did get caught. I didn't know you wanted to be an actor, Chris.
Yeah, for a really long time. Wow. And went to college thinking that that's where my future lied.
Sure.
But I also grew up a contractor's kid from a really early age. I was on construction sites, building decks, renovating houses. My dad also worked in telecom for a time, so I would also be in charge of going underneath of houses with a cable run and a hammer in case I ran across anything scary that I could hit with it, and then getting it to the other side of the house. It was a grand old time.
Nice work, Bob.
Yeah, Bob kills. So for when I showed up at college, they were like, it's great that you want to act, but we also need people to build sets, build scenery, work on things like that. Yes. Do you have any experience there? And I said, oh boy, do I. And quickly found that while I really did enjoy acting, the practical side of the art is one, much less subjective, and two, for me personally, much more fulfilling. There is something really gratifying about getting to the end of your day and having built something truly astounding, or something that you wouldn't have ever thought you could put on stage before. So graduating out of college, I graduated with both an acting degree and acting directing with secondary focus in, technical and design. Basically, I did all of my general education stuff up front, and then when I transferred over to the state school that I went to, I had taken care of all of that stuff, so it kind of got treated like a conservatory, and then I never left the theater. While I was there, I helped set up a work-study program that we called Stage Rats, where we helped work-study people who were working inside of the theater who had that interest connect with Philadelphia theater companies who needed tech hands for things like load-in, who kind of help grease the wheels for their professional career once they left college. That company really succeeded, but I had kind of found what I wanted to do with the rest of my career. Yeah. Was still trying acting, but did a lot of bouncing around. Was doing technical stuff and going out on tour as an actor / technician. A lot of your early career tours will put you out on the road with a secondary job.
Is that a swing?
No.
No. No, a swing would cover like
an
ensemble role and then cover a larger like lead role or principal role. This was kind of
a swing and a miss.
That was a swing and a miss.
That's it for me.
Kenny ball game.
Kenny ball game. I've not
never heard that in my life. I kind of hate it.
And we're on a little tangent already.
Yes.
I noticed Chris said our word of the day. Ken, you might be noticing.
Yes.
He said the word load-in.
Yes.
You know what a load-in is?
It is when you load in the equipment.
That's actually...
And the speakers.
Ooh.
And the DeLorean, like Back to the Future.
Okay.
Roughly, yes.
Right. Yeah.
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 You're kind of hitting... It's,
kind of when we get all of the gear that makes up the show, costumes down to set, down to everything that they need for hospitality, down to...
Oh, so everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything comes into the building.
Costumes?
Costumes, yes. Costumes,
whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. You said this?
This was he the did. First thing. He said costume set, and then you said costumes.
You're a wonderful active listener, Ken.
Actor?
Active.
Actor.
Yep.
No.
Actor. Let's say yes and keep this ball moving.
This is an auditory test as well. But yeah, no, okay, so from there, actually, I'd like to tell a little story about Chris the actor. Ooh. Which is...
Rita, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a casting apprentice and Christopher was a production apprentice, which is how we met, I found Chris's headshot and resume in the stacks in my casting office.
And you pinned it on your...
I do have it. I do have it. But here are two things that...
You still have that?
I still have it.
Aww.
Here are two things that made me laugh that I made fun of Chris for instantly. Number one, he sent in a photocopy because he didn't bring an actual headshot and resume in, which is a big no-no.
I got it at the Kinko's.
Yeah.
Chris.
If that's a last case scenario, go for it, but always have a nice print ready.
Sure.
Little fun fact. Number two, the casting director, who was not me, wrote on it, cute but unprepared.
Which will be on my tombstone. Quite frankly,
yes.
I think that still holds up.
Yes, yes.
Cute, unprepared.
True.
I still have
no
that.
Notes.
That is great. Oh my god.
I've always wanted to just read what people wrote on my resume.
Most of the time, I would write like what show I wanted them for. But the fact that this casting director took the time to write that means you made an impression, but also you were unprepared.
I was bold. I take big swings. Right. I make big choices.
I know. The closest I've ever gotten is somebody sent me a picture of my headshot and resume and just like a bag of junk in a theater.
Oh my god.
I won't name which one, but it was hilarious.
Oh man. That's so funny. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. But yeah. That's your little career to start.
Got out of college, went to New York City, and then started doing tech work there for a really long time, and then went to Philadelphia because that's where I'm originally from, and met Rita, and then we spent about a decade in Philly where I was a technical director for Delaware Theater Company. I was the head shop carpenter for the Walnut Street Theater. I was the managing director for Philadelphia Scenic Works, which was my pride and joy. It was a not-for-profit company that worked specifically for one, the not-for-profit theater scene, but also on the improvement and betterment of the lives of the technicians that existed in the not-for-profit sector, as they don't get a lot of care in that particular realm. Rita wanted to move back to Buffalo about right after
Go Bills.
I did there for a couple of years, and we did.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
That's crazy.
I lost the fight, but won the war, I think.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Love is love.
Love is love.
Love.
Yeah. Wow, well said, Ken.
Good actor.
So, Chris, what would you say is the biggest difference that you've noticed so far running a theater production and managing a live show?
Timing.
Okay.
It is. So, with theater, a production will start its life, let's call it generously, a year out from curtain up. Sometimes 6 months, but really depends on the type of production, whether it's new, what all is going on there. But they're generally getting staffing lined up and the thoughts and motivations out a year ahead of time. For running a concert venue, these are all products that have already been created and are coming and dropping in, which means that we do these in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks worth of heads up. I'd like to get a month out. Typically 2 weeks out is about standard for DJs and other like artists. Maybe you'll get your information about a week in advance if you're lucky.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's taking a process that in theater world will take its time and be really thought out and really direct, and then cramming all of that information into a much more condensed palette, and then you have a week to figure out how it gets into your venue and out.
The benefit here, though, is that for all of these events that we're doing with those week notices, has to happen one night only in my venue, so once it's here, it's gone. It's a very similar to renting, or not renting, presenting versus producing a piece.
Yeah, that's us. We present.
Yeah. Shays presents theater.
Yes.
Producing houses will take much longer with their time. They will have specific scene shops that they hire. They'll hire in staff. There is a lot that goes into it when you're a producing house that you don't really have to worry about when you're presenting, especially on the type of scale we're talking about. It's just with one night, you can hang by your thumbs for as long as you want.
Hate that saying.
Yeah. But it being a much more drawn out practice, you have to have that thing happen many more times, which means that the process has to be repeatable, has to be consistent, has to be reliable. It's not something that rock and roll necessarily has to worry about as much.
So you get the tech writers with all of the weird, like, green M&M requests and all that. What has been the weirdest request that you can say on air on your tech writer?
On a what? Tech wire?
A tech writer.
Tech writer?
Yeah.
That can be another theme of the day? What's a tech writer?
Yeah, for sure. A tech writer is, they send over all of the requirements that they have for the presentation of their show. Oh. So from you, we're going to need X amount of microphones, X amount of microphone stands. This is what we want for our schedule to look like for the day. This is how we'll be arriving. This is what buses will be coming to.
And they put in weird requests?
Sometimes.
Like M&Ms?
Well,
and
to make sure that Chris is reading it.
And that's a tech writer.
Yes.
Along with like the actual things that probably should be done, like microphones and things.
Yes,
and hospitality writer.
Tech and hospitality.
Yeah. Hospitality writer is usually where you're finding things like the green M&Ms, and there's a really specific purpose for it. I'm sure that people like have heard about the crazy things that rock stars will ask.
Of course.
Well, I'll answer what it is, and then I'll get to you about the weird one that I can think of, because there are ones that I can't really talk about. There is one that comes to mind that I thought was great and is actually a really great example of this. So they put that on there to make sure that I'm doing my job and reading it, and if I'm not asking questions about, okay, so a bucket of green M&Ms, you want just green M&Ms, then they know I haven't checked through and done all of my work. If I am asking about it and getting into the specifics, they know that whatever work I'm putting forward is coming with that same attention to detail. Yeah. It's a bullshit check.
Sure.
Love that. Yeah.
So the funniest one that I've seen has been, I believe it was, no, I won't even say the artist's name, an artist requested three Beverly Hills grown live peacocks to be available at her disposal to walk around the venue and make her day that much better.
I hope you provided them.
Yeah, you better have got those.
We asked the question. And in asking the question, it was like, ha, got ya. We like specifically said, it doesn't say live, so can we just get them like the stuffed ones? How is she going to tell that they're from Beverly?
Find a local taxidermist.
Like there were a lot of these. God. Like, and I get the email, and then I send my response, and then the next however long until they respond to me is spent stressing about, like, where am I going to get?
Was this like a hazing thing?
It was.
They're hazing Chris. They're hazing your husband, dude.
It's essentially hazing, but
the name of the person. Let's go find them.
But they do that with every
Let's go find them for the peacocks.
Single place. Like, it's not just me. Yeah. It's just to make sure.
Does Shays get hazed, Julia?
We get tech writers and hospitality writers.
We've painted whole dressing rooms white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've done the green M&M thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've had a live sushi bar, I'm pretty sure, at one point.
Folks at home should see Ken's face.
Rolling sushi as the artist.
And I can't tell the interns to go to, like, go to the roof and go find, go
chill.
Go to the roof and find, I have interns. Just, they're not here right now.
They're in Canada.
Yeah.
I was going to say Chicago. I thought I was going to say Chicago for a second. I was going to say, ooh, that's very good.
We do actually, but.
Sidebar, that was a good guess.
So, moral of story, you can request whatever you want, and if you really mean it. But if it fits in budget, then it's my responsibility to execute on that. And I think that is one of, like, the bigger differences, because we're dealing with these things on a one-night-only kind of basis. The requests and the turnaround time in getting, say, a live sushi chef in, a lot harder
to
do.
That's crazy.
But certainly what I think is my favorite part of these things, my favorite part about production management, is solving those puzzles on the fly, living in that chaos world, feeling that stress and being able to cut through it, and then getting to the end of the day and just wringing yourself out, knowing that you achieved something pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nicely said, Chris.
Thanks.
Well, Chris, you were not very talkative during this interview, so I'm going to skip through a few questions.
Sure.
If you could step that up a bit, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, I'll get more responsive to
you. I have a question.
Yeah.
Juliana, what is the biggest hospitality rider you've given somebody?
What?
I think you're an actor.
I see what joke he's trying to make here.
He's trying to
I'm not
make
or what would you like do? Yeah, what would you no no, or like what would you do?
Well, oh, what?
Like, yeah, what would you do
on your ride?
Yeah.
Oh,
I like that question,
see,
actually.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, y'all attack. I just said it wrong, but that's what I meant. I was nervous.
I was like, if you're going to make her do this one-woman cabaret. Like,
I know.
Yeah, what would you do?
Well, I don't know about crazy. Like,
or just
normal,
like, what would
the
you
The normal one would be like, I've seen normal ones where it's like, I want tea in my dressing room.
Yeah.
I would do tea, but like a crazy one.
Yeah, would you ever, is there something like...
I'd love like a live. I'd love a masseuse.
Ooh, see, like yeah. That's cool.
I've never been that important.
What would you do, Ken? No,
that's what I'm thinking. That's why I got my wheels turning. Like, what the hell would I like?
Yeah. Do you have something?
Not yet, but if I do, I'm just gonna just shout it in the middle. Like, yeah. I'm gonna caught us off guard and say like, that's what I would need.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I would need like
a,
you know what I would need?
Oh, wow.
You know,
I need yeah. like to calm oh, down yeah. before. I need like a water feature. Like a little like fountain or something, like oh a little God. Like
a chocolate fountain.
Like my brother okay. has, because I'm a Disney guy. My brother has like the Tree of Life, and like you plug it in, the water comes down. It's like a little oh, fountain. It's so just cute. It's so peaceful. Like
that'd
I need
be your
that.
Green ring?
I wouldn't need that in there for sure. Like, and I don't think that's too crazy,
no.
right?
No, it's yeah. really not.
Rita, what would yours be?
A sea of puppies. A small like body of water worth of puppies, all alive.
We actually did
and...
find a puppy worth the adoption event. We did have puppies over there. I forget. It was for a gentleman who came to speak about like raising.
Oh, because we tried to intercept your puppies.
Yeah, I remember this. Like,
I actually did. I did meet
you
one.
Did?
I forget their name. It was like Buttercup or something.
Something like
that.
Like their Daisy or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It was like something like.
We did. We tried to interfere with the Electric City puppies. That
I
day.
Wanted to have that happen, but then the puppy people were running late, and then. Speaker gentleman was running a little bit late and around, so it was kind of like, would have loved to have gotten you in. They didn't allow for it. Chaos kind of took over.
Production managed. No, thank
production
you.
Managed.
We appreciate that.
But I forgot something upstairs, and I came back down and met Buttercup or Daisy in the morning. I don't remember.
Yeah, I want a sea of little puppies just dancing around, giving me kisses. Dreams. Okay. Can you describe a theatrical moment that you created that you were proud of?
I think the coolest thing that I have ever done, and I've done a lot of really cool things, I'm not going to lie about that.
Like marrying Rita.
Like marrying Rita, but that didn't really... Yeah.
That
like,
was a test.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good test. That was a good test.
But professionally...
Yes, professionally, yeah.
I was going to say, that's not theater.
No.
I hope not. Or is it?
I mean, we got married at Babeville, which is a venue, so, yeah, so shout out to Babeville.
Not too far.
Isn't that where the Arties...
Yes.
It was this year.
It's a great venue.
It was actually, it was very beautiful.
I do love it over there. It's quite beautiful. Reformed churches.
You're biased. Always.
Yeah. I did rent it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we paid them.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris. Go on. I cut it.
One of the coolest things that I have ever done professionally would be a show required the construction of a full-scale airplane nose down inside of the theater. In addition to building the airplane, that production was also going to be leaving the venue where I was the technical director and then touring to a spot in New York called 53 East 53rd. So I had to make...
Also great venue.
I had to figure out how to design and build a 98% scale aircraft that could be constructed and look... not like a model, but like an actual aircraft that then got taken apart into small individual pieces, put onto a truck, shipped from Delaware up to New York, and then reloaded into a venue up three sets of 6 to 8 foot wide stairs in through a standard, typical doorway size, and then rebuilt to look like that same model.
So this is one of your puzzles that you alluded to earlier.
Yes. And
wait, so what show needs the airplane?
Here's the picture.
What show is this?
It was a new play, wasn't it?
It was a new play called One November Yankee, and it starred two people whose names I don't remember. I believe one of them was reality TV famous, and I forget. And then the other actress was like a proper like name actress.
We should use this as part of the marketing for this episode.
Yeah. Sure can.
I
could share.
Like, are going to wonder what the heck this plane looks like. Yeah. This is something that you built. Cool. This is pretty incredible.
It's huge. You can see him on the side there.
I had a really great team who helped me build that. I was in charge of the drawing.
No, I'll take full credit of
him. Okay. I built it by hand.
Yeah, right. It's slave.
I didn't see him for weeks.
They barely got married over that. Like, this was a big...
Oh, it was a big to-do.
It was a big to-do.
I would have married him anyway if he hadn't got it done in time. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
But I did get it done on time, so I never have to text it. But I think that project was one of the coolest things that I ever got to accomplish. Right. The design of it, the way in which it came apart, even down to, like, there were certain architectural elements inside of the space that it had to move to. Like, there was a piece of ductwork that intercepted where one of the wings landed in the new space, so before we took it out of its home, we cut out the notch of the wing, so that way when we reinstalled it, we didn't have to, like, figure out what that was in space. It was already most of the way home.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You see the Matrix.
I see it in three dimensions.
I saw it on display, Chris is thinking, when we were at an event all together, and somebody asked about how the DeLorean works. I think my sister did. And he started explaining it with, like, a paper plate a fork. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And he was doing the model.
He does it a lot at dinner. I'll be like, put the salt shaker back. thank you.
Yeah, that was crazy.
They represent shapes.
Chris, thank you so much for answering all of our questions. I think I'm going to do a quick fire round at you just to keep you humble. I hope you're ready.
Okay.
All right. Gaffer tape or guitar picks?
Gaffer tape is great for everything. Guitar picks are good at one thing, so gaffer tape it is.
Ooh. Logic.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Rita or Reed?
I was going to say still Reed. Always Reed.
How are you going to finish that?
I didn't know where to go with that as soon as I first part
Rita
came out.
Or me?
still Rita.
Hey.
And that's not hard.
This is turning into a really nice session for me. Soundcheck or dress rehearsal?
This is quick, Chris.
No, I know. Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
Soundcheck, because I'm not as in charge of that one.
More intense, Tech Week or Loden?
One day of each? No, because we're getting into the specifics here. One day of Tech Week or one day of Loden show?
Let's see.
And I think that this is one of the... All right, no, more into it. I think this is one of the big differences.
Yes, that's why.
This is a fire round.
I know, but I'm...
It's on fire.
It's on fire, and we can be patient and talk about it. She hasn't engulfed the building yet.
Who engulfed the building?
The fire.
Oh, my God, Dave. Dave, this is a quick round. So,
in Tech Week, I'm putting together the show, and I've got 10 out of 12s all week, and that results in, like, a show, right? Yeah. In music, I do load in, tech, show, get it out of my building, and off it goes. I think that if it's one day of each, I'm taking load in for one day as opposed to Tech Week for all 5 days, even if it means that one of those days is 17 hours long and Tech Week is like 5 days of tens.
All right, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah. All right.
I think it was important to get another one.
That'll be the end of the quick round.
And now we're in the long round. Dream Collab, Sondheim or Springsteen?
Springsteen.
Oh, I like this.
I love
one.
Sondheim. He's a little nose in the air.
I like this next one.
See, you and Mary O'Shea agree about Sondheim.
Here's where we differ. I love Sondheim's work. I think working with him personally would be a bit of a chore. Springsteen seems like a guy we could, like, get down with. Both from New Jersey. We could talk about
Roll.
We could talk about Wawa. We could talk about a lot of great things. The myriad of problems that come along with the Turnpike. There's
a lot of common ground.
A lot of common ground.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Bigger mess, confetti cannon or glitter drop?
Glitter.
That question. Glitter. That's
Glitter gets everywhere, and it's small and it's finite.
It's like sand.
Confetti gets everywhere, but it's papery, and I can, like, wipe that out a lot faster. Am I still going to be finding confetti? Yeah, but it's kind of fun. When I find glitter, I just get real angry real quick.
Yeah.
It's also terrible for the environment. This is one of those things. We should stop making glitter.
Wait, what's glitter? What's bit? Glitter or confetti?
Glitter.
Confetti, I'm fine with.
You could recycle that.
Yeah.
Glitter is a microplastic that you will ingest and will live in your body forever.
Have you had a glitter drop at a thing that you've run?
I disallow them at every place I've ever touched.
He disallows the glitter drop.
I think that my drag queen friends would have it on their bodies, and even that makes me, but, like, girl, it's part of your business, so I ain't trying to step in front. But, like, please do not use glitter as a technician. It's the worst thing in the world.
Sidebar, shout out to our environmental services team that cleans up both glitter and confetti when it comes to
it. Have we had a glitter drop here?
I don't think so, but I remember during Six there was a ton of confetti. Dream concert to run.
I would love to, like, see the logistics behind a stadium show, like a Springsteen show, conveniently, would be sick. I also, just because there's so many stages and the hectic and chaotic nature of like a Vans Warped Tour would be a hell of a good time, especially considering as like a teenager I spent so much time out front of them getting drunk with my friends. It would be nice to be on the other side of that and getting mad at the kids getting drunk in the parking lot.
Oh, I like that.
As a teen, I'm just kidding.
Artists you are most starstruck by in theater and music?
I worked with Julie Taymor, which was...
Juliana's face.
What?
Yeah.
You're dropping this now? Yeah. Quickfire?
I also worked with Danya Taymor as well. Who,
what?
And Danya and I... All right.
The outside?
Go for it.
Permission to... Yeah, yep, okay, great. Yep. Here we
Our
go.
Producer allows it. Thank you, Cassandra.
I was one of the... I was the first crew to open up Brooklyn Academy of Music's Shakespeare Center.
Oh my
the
god.
The Polonsky Center.
Okay.
Julie Taymor did with a bunch of really cool, really famous people, Catherine Hunter being one of them, did Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And I was on the Tech and Run crew, assistant stage management crew for that, as well as stage carpentry and stuff like that.
That's super cool.
which was incredible because, like, we would be outside. Taking fresh air, and then she would come outside and like get that fresh air with us, and then be sitting there hanging out and talking with us. And meanwhile, I'm like humming, 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 lying here across the universe. Yeah, everything you've ever done is fucking incredible, and like, but trying to keep it chill and contained, and not knowing what to do with that. And then that was the first time, and then after that, it was like kind of relaxing. Oh, that's just Julie Taymor, JT over there, just hanging out.
That's JT over there.
For the people who don't know who Julie Taymor is, I just realized. She is the very famous director of like The Lion King on Broadway, so all the like insane puppetry is from her across the universe.
I love that movie.
Is it The Beatles?
Yeah, The Beatles.
With Jim Sturgis and Evan Rachel Wood.
Absolutely the most like one of the most fascinating people I've ever had the opportunity to speak
with. Wow, that's super cool.
Danya was assistant director on that, and then was also doing early directorial stuff in The Village. Myself, the Equity ASM, I believe he was ASM, not PSM, Kevin Klutz and I were best friends and would kiki around the city together all of the time. But the
three...
Kiki.
Let's have a kiki.
A kiki is a party for calming all your nerves.
I never heard that.
Whoa!
Never
have
heard
you listened to the Glee cover song of
with
Let's
Turkey
Have a
Lurkey
Kiki?
Time?
Nope. I have no. Lurkey. Wow, that's another word of the day. We've had like 16 words of the day today.
We need to educate him. That's the best around, of it.
You kikied around the town with JT?
Damn
no,
straight.
No. My friend Kevin Klutz. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What the hell happened to JT?
She's
working.
She's the best, but she was working at this other thing. Geez. And then Kevin Klutz and I had worked together at Summerstock Theaters together.
You and
like me and Kevin Klutz, who again.
Kevin Klutz.
Shout out to Kevin Klutz.
Kevin Klutz, who. Anyway.
Shout out to Vinny.
Poor Vinny. Can't make it through an episode.
We would do a lot of work together with him as Vinny. Production stage manager. Oh, I would ASM. And then because we were just crushing on the Julie Taymor Midsummer Night's Dream thing, she had some work that she was doing in The Village. So Kevin and I would just jump in on some of those projects when she would have them. And I think I did one or two shows with her, but became like really, not really good friends, but like friends with her casual acquaintances. And worked together with her in New York during that time.
That's awesome. And now Danya did The Outsiders, right? Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
And then won a Tony. So it was
which is also coming to...
To Shane's Buffalo. Were you not sure, or were you doing a pause?
No, it's right. It's on their script here. We have here. Rita has a script.
Yeah. Rita
right here. It's right here. You can't see Rita.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even pretend to take credit. I said Rita has the script.
Time to be working in New York City. I was as broke as I ever have been. Like, me and $1 pizza became like... best friends. That was like literally my entire diet for.
I almost said broken love, but you didn't know Rita yet.
No, not yet.
No.
So just broke.
Just broke.
Just broke.
Yep. Kikiing around town with JT and Kevin Klutz.
Klutz.
Vinny.
JT was not there.
No, JT was not there.
JT is way too cool to be hanging out with me and Kevin Klutz as we go from bar to bar hanging out.
Oh, JT is a legend. I'll just put that
That's
out there.
Crazy. I didn't know that.
Not JT like Juliana Tracy, but JT.
That JT is a legend
she
as well.
She stole what I was going to say next.
She knew.
Already. She knew it, where I was going to go.
And then, Chris, if folks wanted to listen to you and our audio engineers, band, Our Fair City, where could they do that?
We're on Spotify. And we've got two records out now, and we're working on a third. That record has been in progress for like 10 or 11 years at this point.
The whole time I've known you.
Yeah. It's become a bit of like Boyhood the Musical, where like it has taken up the entirety of like our 20s
to 30s. The Linklater movie, yeah.
We've been doing a documentary throughout the entire time. So, like, there's video of us when we're in our 20s talking about it, and now there's video of us in our 30s talking about it. And, like, in that time span, I think that, like, amongst the band members, 4 or 5 children have been born.
Yes.
I think we've all gotten married. Yes. I think that we're all living in different homes, but, like, we still love each other and love the project so much that we still keep getting together to, like, make the music and talk about what our next step should be. And, dear God, do I want it to get released? But I know that, like, rushing these things, no one is waiting on this thing. It's me and the rest of the guys who want to like send it out.
Rita's waiting on it. I'm rushing on it right now.
Hashtag Our Fair City.
It's coming. I think that like we're finally to the point that like hit send on that particular email is about to happen. I hope Dave will tell me if I'm right or not.
And then you guys will have your concert at Electric City. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the first lady of Electric City, Rita, will be in the front row.
Michelle, yes. She should be there. Yes.
Correct.
The marketing manager, Michelle.
You're the first lady of Electric City.
No. Maybe Mark Violino, his wife, would be first lady because he's in charge.
Rita,
but anyway,
we think you're the first lady of Electric City.
Thank you, Ken. As are you. What? Anyway.
That doesn't make any sense, Rita. There'll be no kicking around town.
Christopher Braytek, thank you so much for joining us today.
Chris, thanks, man. Truly my pleasure.
You're the best.
Loved it.
I will see you when we go to drive home together.
Yay!
In the meantime,
are we going to Fast Food Island tonight or no?
Well, we should get some fast food tonight because we earned it.
The McDonald's chicken wraps yesterday, finally.
So delish. Good. We love a good.
That was me clapping.
Happy meal. Some quick campus shout outs. First of all, be sure to check out Electric City's webpage or social media. They have a lot of exciting shows coming up. And if you're not with us, you should come check out our neighbors here on Main Street. Then we've got Disney's Beauty and the Beast, a special engagement of the 5-Star Bank season, which will be August 20th to the 24th. Don't miss out, folks. It's the 30th anniversary tour. And then Disney's Beauty and the Beast is coming up. It is a special engagement of the 5-Star Bank season sponsored by Gallagher, and it will be August 20th to the 24th, and it is the 30th anniversary tour. Yay. So don't miss out. Should be beautiful. And then...
Oh, I see what you did there.
And then tickets are on sale now for Dreamgirls and Ansari Saxon and Shea 710 production. Those shows will be from September 10th to the 28th. Guys, it's going to be fabulous. And then The Outsiders will be coming to Shea's Buffalo September 17th to the 23rd. So, folks, we got your fall planned right here. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Cast Party. Be sure to keep up with us on social media, on Shea's Buffalo social pages, or at shays.org/cast-party-podcast. Okay, we'll see you at the next party. And Ken, why don't you play us out, sir?
Oh, absolutely. And then we slide right over.
Cast Party is presented by Shays Performing Arts Center.
Produced by Cassandra Lippert, Ken Lazuski, myself, Juliana Tracy, and Rita Siriani.
Theme song by John Michael Ogletree.
Audio mixing by Dave Lenhart.
Logo and graphics designed by Acacia Crozier.
Marketing and social media by Bridget Neeson.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Shays Performing Arts Center Presents Cast Party, wherever exceptional podcasts are downloaded.
Or visit us at shays.org.
Bye-bye.